The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. When the days were completed for their purification according to the law of Moses, Mary and Joseph took Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, just as it is written in the law of the Lord, "Every male that opens the womb shall be consecrated to the Lord, and offer the sacrifice of a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons, in accordance with the dictate in the law of the Lord." Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, awaiting the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Christ of the Lord. He came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to perform the custom of the law in regard to him, he took him into his arms and blessed God, saying, "Now, Master, you may let your servant go in peace according to your word. For my own eyes have seen the salvation which you have prepared in the sight of every people, a light for the revelation of the Gentiles and the glory for your people Israel." The child's father and mother were amazed at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rise of many in Israel, and a sign that will be contradicted, and you yourself a sword will pierce, so that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived 7 years with her husband after her marriage, and then as a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day with fasting and prayer. And coming forward at that very time, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were awaiting the redemption of Jerusalem. When they had fulfilled all the prescriptions of the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of the Lord was upon him. The Gospel of the Lord. This is the feast of the presentation of the Lord, which traditionally, according to the old calendar, and those of you who don't know what the old calendar is, back in 1969, the Catholic calendar was revised substantially, but I won't get into that right now. They used to call it the Feast of the Purification of the Blessed Virgin Mary, because 40 days after a woman gave birth, she would come to the temple for a ritual purification ceremony, and 40 days have elapsed since Christmas. Sometimes it's colloquially known as Candlemas, because we bless the candles of the year, at least symbolically, here before Mass begins. But just as an aside, there's one little point I'd like to clarify. And perhaps you've heard this before, and perhaps you haven't. I hope I'm not confusing anybody. But there are many people who believe that today is the traditional end of the Christmas season. Perhaps you've known people who have kept their Christmas tree up until February 2nd, and they say, on the old calendar, today was the end of the Christmas season. I'd like to just clarify, the old calendar had a Christmas season that was always precisely 20 days long. It never varied. Christmas lasted from December 25th, but it always ended on January 13th. At no time in our history, by no calendar ever, was February 2nd ever part of Christmas. The reason why it's sometimes associated with Christmas is simply because of the opening prayer that I said before I blessed the candles, referencing the tradition of the 40-day purification. But just to make things clear, not Christmas, never was Christmas, never will be Christmas. Thank you for your attention to this matter. Okay. Now, they call it the purification of the Blessed Mother. And you know the Blessed Mother doesn't need any purifying. She's always the all-pure one. But I want to draw your attention to the first reading from the book of the prophet Malachi, the last of all the prophets, that says that when we come to the temple of the Lord, we are the ones who must be purified. He said that who will stand when the Lord appears, who will be able to endure his coming, He will purify like the refiner's fire and like the fuller's lye. Now, you and I stand in need of purification because we're supposed to be the dwelling place of the Lord. And we take a look at these two images. Now, you know what a refiner's fire is. What does the refiner do? He takes gold and silver and he puts it in a flame until everything that's dross is removed. Everything that's not meant to be there is taken out, and the only thing that's left is the pure, perfect beauty of what God created. But it has to go through a flame to get there. And then he says that he's like the fuller's lye. Now, you might know what a refiner is, but do you know what a fuller is? Just for fun, I'll tell you. A fuller was someone who purified lamb's wool. Now, you know that lamb's wool is softer than a cloud. But it's not like that naturally. It's not like that when it comes off the back of a lamb. It has to be made pure. And the fuller would purify lamb's wool with a foul-smelling ammonium lye that smelled so bad that the fuller would work outside the city so that nobody would have to endure the disgusting fumes that were necessary to soften the wool of a lamb. And it's an important point for us to remember that purification is necessary and it's not pleasant. Have you forgotten that you're destined for heaven? Please God, we all make it. Have you forgotten that heaven is a place of perfect love? Now, I don't know about you, but I am not yet perfect love. If you are, go home and pray for the rest of us, but the chances are you're not either. And we stand in need of purification to be made soft and gentle like lamb's wool, or beautiful like gold, or like silver. All sin, all selfishness, all that's not worthy of God has to be taken away by a difficult purification process. I say this because when it happens, I do not want you to forget why it happens. Let me tell you a little story. Okay? Now, I've mentioned before that once upon a time I tried to become a monk with the Carthusians in Vermont. I like to say I tried to become a monk, but I flunked. But once a week, we had the most fascinating experience in the monastery, because once a week we would take a 4-hour walk. Now, all the time you were silent in the monastery, except for that walk, you got to talk to all the other monks in little 15-minute rotating intervals. Fascinating conversations with masters of the spiritual life. I'll tell you about one of those conversations. Because on this walk, we were climbing a mountain in Vermont. And there were two paths up the mountain. One path went mercilessly, brutally straight up the mountain for anybody who could endure the climb. The other path was switchbacks. Slower, gentler, more endurable for the rest of us. And it led to a conversation with the monk. He said, you know, every analogy limps, but generally speaking, this walk we're on right now is just like the spiritual life. We are climbing the mountain of the Lord. We are not at rest yet. We are on a journey. We are trying to get to the top of the mountain, and it's a climb, and it's hard. And there's two paths up that mountain. There's the straight path right up the mountain, and then there's the switchbacks. Now, some people go straight up the mountain. God alone chooses who these people are because they can endure it. These are the ones who undergo catastrophic illness, you know, tragedies, you know, like amputations and debilitating illnesses and false accusations and false imprisonments, frightful sufferings. These are the ones that go straight up the mountain of the Lord, and God alone knows they can handle it. The rest of us take the switchbacks. The rest of us endure traffic jams, quarrels, difficulties, inconveniences, bad hair days, hangnails, canceled flights. and all the rest. But the trouble with going up the switchbacks is that you forget that you're climbing a mountain. And that's what we must remember. I say this to you because as it happens, please do not forget why it happens. This earth is not your home. You are on a journey. The purification is painful. Embrace it with faith. Don't fight against it. Simeon, when he sees the child Jesus, says to the Blessed Mother and Joseph, "This is a child who will be opposed." And we're tempted to think that just means, you know, the mean secular world opposes Jesus. Have you ever stopped to consider just how much you oppose Jesus in your own heart? Right now, as he tries to lead us home, maybe by the switchbacks, maybe straight up the mountain, and we fight against God's providence. We say, "Why me, God? Why, God, why?" And we forget where we're headed. We forget we're being purified. He says to the Blessed Mother, "The sword will pierce your heart." And of course, he's referring to the Blessed Mother who stands by the foot of the cross. But do you forget that we're all called to stand by the foot of that cross? I say this so that when it happens, you will not lose heart. You will not forget why it happens. To be made like gold or silver, soft like lamb's wool, as the Lord intended you to be forever, his dwelling place. A candle, which we bless today, is a symbol of Christ. A candle burns itself down to nothing, giving off warmth and heat for others. As it is with the candle, so it is with Christ. And as it is with Christ, so it must be with you and with me. If there's a message today, it is embrace that with faith. Then the sacrifice of Judah and Jerusalem will please the Lord, as in the days of old, as in years gone by. Persevere, that his light might shine in you. Amen.